Well, hello, I'm Steve Kovitz, and I'm here to bring us the sermon out of that Bible passage. But what a week. On Monday night, we received confirmation from the Seventh-day Adventist Church that they would let us rent their facilities until Port High would let us back in. It's quite generous of them. And so on Tuesday morning, the staff team met for 2 hours planning how will we get all of us into their slightly smaller building. And so we had an 8:30 service, 10:30 service, 5 p.m. service, all planned out. We did lots of work planning. And then by Tuesday afternoon, we're thrust back into lockdown. And so here we are, back to online. I'm preaching to you through a camera again. Wow. 18 months ago, this COVID dance that we knew that we were going to get into, it almost sounded romantic. We knew that we would be in and out of lockdowns and restrictions, and there was almost a sense of adventure. But here we are, October 2021, and it's got a little tiring, a frustrating, monotonous. And for some, this COVID dance has gone beyond frustrating. Businesses have shut down. Riots in Australia are making our daily news feed. And then there's the rise of anxiety and mental health issues. Brothers and sisters, we are in a crisis. And yes, praise be to God, we haven't felt the worst of it. You remember Italy when it first hit off? You remember, look what's going on in the US and India, what's going on in Africa right now. We haven't felt the worst of it. We're in Australia and we're in Port Macquarie. But let's be honest, we, even in Port Macquarie, are feeling the effects of a global crisis. The world is 100% more volatile, more uncertain, more complex, more ambiguous than it was just 18 months ago. And right now, we are at a very personal, volatile point. The heat associated with the vaccine is felt by all of us. The vaccine, the issues surrounding the vaccine are tearing apart family and friends. Now, I don't say any of that to alarm you. I trust that you're not alarmed. I trust that this crisis hasn't taken you by surprise. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we know that our world is broken. Historically, pandemics are normal. Don't be alarmed, don't be surprised, but cut yourself some slack. This is a crisis. It's normal to feel anxious, to be a little depressed, to be confused, to have a sense of we're out of control. We're in a global crisis. Even though our crisis is not unprecedented, it has turned our world upside down. And so we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at four biblical truths that will bring some sanity to our upside down world. Recently, I listened to a talk that pushed into some of the psychology that sits behind why we get so anxious during a crisis. The first foundation that gets disrupted for psychological health in a crisis is our need for connection. I mean, the moment we come out of the womb, it's like we want to get back in there, we want to be connected. The second foundation is our need for order. Think about it. There are 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 12 months to a year. We eat three meals a day. We need order, we need routine in our life. The third foundation is that we are control freaks. Now, I know that sounds bad, but consider some of what we're feeling through COVID right now is because a microbe is in control. We're not in control. And then fourthly, we're built to contribute. And these four building blocks of psychological health have all been disrupted through COVID. Our need for connection has been disrupted. Our need for routine order has been disrupted. Our need of control has been disrupted, and our ability to contribute has been disrupted. And as I listened to that talk, it helped me work out where some of my anxiety is coming from over the last 18 months. But it also helped me see, oh, us Christians are the best equipped humans for a crisis. We know that our God connects. He wants to connect. He pursues us. We know that our God is the one who sits behind an ordered world. We know that our God speaks into control. Self-control is a major theme of the Bible. And we know that God gives gifts to all of his children for contributing to the growing of his kingdom. And so we are in a global crisis, and we will be for some time. And so this sermon series is going to be another reminder that our God is sovereign. Our God is in control. Our God equips us for crises. But more than equips us, our God takes care of us. Our God is our shelter. God is our shelter, is the name of this sermon series. Now, that was a long intro. We need to get stuck into this week's sermon. And this sermon is titled, Connect with God and His People. And so think about this for a second. Connect. Psychologists tell us that connection is crucial, perhaps even the crucial foundation for our psychological health. And our COVID lockdowns bring isolation. And isolation is not good for our mental health. Pre-COVID, it was thought that probably 15% of the population have serious mental health issues. At the moment, some predictions are that that has risen to 40%. But get this, the overarching story, one of the overarching stories of the Bible, what you HSC English students might call one of the meta-narratives of the Bible, is the fact that God pursues his people. God pursues connection. Now, our Bible reading was from Hebrews chapter 10. It's a passage that we go to remind ourselves that we need to connect. God's people connect. Don't neglect meeting together. And we'll get to that. But before we do, I want us to see just how committed God is to connecting with his people. And so here's how the sermon will roll out. Firstly, we'll look at God connects. Then we'll look at we connect. And after we've done that, we'll see that this is an important season to connect. Okay? God connects, we connect, an important season to connect. And so firstly, God connects. Now, Hebrews is a great part of the Bible to delve into. The logic can be a little difficult to follow, so you've got to work hard, but it's worth it. You've got to do some Old Testament study as well. But the central theme of Hebrews can be summarized in three words. Jesus is better. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than the prophets. Jesus is better than the Old Testament temple and sacrifices. Jesus is better than the priest. Jesus is better because Jesus died for sins once for all. Read with me from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9, 27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. That puts a smile on your dial. This week I got to hear the testimony of two Christians. They were separate moments. They didn't know each other were doing these testimonies. Wasn't rehearsed, but they each shared of the assurance they have that Jesus has dealt with their sin completely because God promises in his scriptures. And let me show you why that fact puts a smile on the dial of every Christian. Flick back, I don't even have to flick back a page in my Bible, but to Hebrews 8, verse 12. This is God speaking. Originally, you can find it in Jeremiah 31. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. God forgets our sin. When you turn to Jesus in repentance and faith, God cleans you all up. Through Jesus, God forgets our sin. And there's more. We are eagerly waiting for the return of Jesus. Remember that from Hebrews 9:28? Why? Why are we so eager? Because Jesus will finally and forever rescue us from this crisis-stricken world. Picture that day. Picture that day when Jesus brings you into his kingdom. Picture that day when Jesus brings you in to the presence of your Father. Now, in our better moments, we know that there is nothing better than the return of our King. In our better moments, we are eagerly waiting for that day. And in those moments, it's as if our heart is going to burst with joy. And so with that picture of Jesus returning, taking us into the presence of the Father, I now want to reread Hebrews 10 from verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, that picture, it's a lot of imagery from the Old Testament, from the tabernacle, from the temple. And there was this Holy of Holies, a part where no one could enter in, just the high priest once a year, because it represented the presence of God. And God is so holy, so glorious. Sinful people cannot come into God's presence. And though there was this big curtain that stopped anyone from entering into that place. But now that Jesus has come, now that Jesus has died, now that Jesus was sacrificed for our sin, punished for our sin, the curtain's torn apart. And let's keep reading. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us draw near. Hear those words, feel those words. Draw near. Draw near. God wants to connect. It's the meta-narrative of the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, God would have been perfectly justified in wiping out humanity. But he didn't. He immediately put in a plan to rescue people. God clothed Adam and Eve. Yes, kicked them out of the garden, but he clothed them and he made preparation so that one day they could return into his presence. God rescued Noah and his family when he destroyed the rest of the world. God covenanted with Abraham and Sarah to set up a nation through which he would bring blessing to the world. Now, Abraham's descendants, Israel, they weren't perfect. Just read your Old Testament. But God continued to pursue these people. He set up a land for them. He set up a temple sacrifice system for them. He gave them priests. He gave them kings. He continued to send prophets even though they were rebellious generation after generation. And of course, all of that Old Testament history was just a backdrop for God's ultimate rescue plan. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, coming to die in our place, to be punished for our sin, so that we could be reconnected to God. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's meta-narrative. Jesus came to reconnect us to God. Jesus is better. Okay, that was God Connects. So we've seen it's one of the meta-narrative, one of the big themes of the Bible. God wants to connect with his people, and God sent Jesus so that that can happen. We're now ready to look at We Connect. Read from verse 24 with me. We're in Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. Now, well, we often use verse 25 to beat each other over the head. Get to church. Don't be like those slackers who neglected meeting together. I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and I've heard verse 25. I've used verse 25 to rebuke our declining church attendance. And by church attendance, I don't mean what the media mean by declining church attendance. The media want to say the church is dying around the world. Religion is dying around the world. That's just not true. Bible teaching churches are actually growing. Religion around the world is growing. No, the decline in attendance, I mean, is from us, from people who are committed Christians declining in our commitment to meeting together. We grow more committed in the last 50 years to getting along to our sporting club, to our hobby club. We're more committed to extended family visiting on the weekend, and so we'll ditch our church family. We'll need to get our homework done on Sunday rather than get along to church. I mean, who figured homework could trump God? Here's what we can learn from the last 50 years. And our COVID crisis, it's a great time for us to be rebuked. Beating each other over the head with Hebrews 10 verse 25 will not help our commitment to each other issue. But putting verse 25 in the context of God's meta-narrative will. We don't meet together because we have to. We meet together because we are family. We are God's family. God has brought us near. God has drawn us in. God is our God, and we are his people. And you guessed it, you know what that means. We connect. Right. God connects. It's one of the meta-narratives of the Bible. And because God connects and he draws us near, we connect. We are his people. We are family. And so let's finish by saying that this is an important season to connect. Have a think about some people that you know that are not doing so well in this global crisis right now. And as you think about them, what you'll find is most of them, if not all of them, are not connected. They're isolated in some way. They're not connected in a way that they are known and they are knowing someone. And the psychologists tell us the depressing statistics of what isolation is doing to us. But we don't need to see those statistics, do we? We know that God is a connecting God, and God connects his people. We know how important it is to connect. And so if you are new to our church, especially if you've just moved to Port Macquarie, reach out to us. We want to connect. I know it's been a little difficult the last few weeks because we're not actually meeting together. But if you go to our website and just go down to the bottom of the front page, you'll see a little button called Connect Card. Push on it, give us some details. We want to connect with you. We want to help. But if you're not new and you are feeling isolated, you are not feeling connected right now, reach out as well. We are family. The primary place where we connect at the point is through our point groups. Our point groups are not simply a Bible study. Our point groups are a place where we are to know people and to be known. And yes, COVID restrictions make it really difficult, and we don't know how much longer that's going to go into the future. But there's the phone, there's Zoom, there's FaceTime, there's an exercise walk along the beach with one other person. One of my prayers is that COVID will be a huge wake-up call for us, that we will grow jealous for our church family. We'll stop using excuses to neglect meeting together. And this goes way beyond our mental health. This goes to the very core of why we have breath in our lungs. We exist to glorify God. The chief reason you and I have breath in our lungs is to show off the amazing glory of God. And one of the chief ways we show off God's glory is by connecting together. Listen as I read from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now that's a bit of a mouthful, but here's what it's saying. That through Jesus, God builds his church, God gathers his people, so that God, through his people, through the church, can display his glory, his wisdom, not just to this world, but to the supernatural world. Let me draw out the implication. Your commitment, my commitment to our family is not about us. If we are serious about living and breathing to the glory of God, we will be serious about living and breathing to his family. Because through the church, God is displaying his wisdom to the universe. And brothers and sisters, the glory of God, our coming together, our staying connected in a loving way, is what makes our vaccine discussion so important. You know, COVID might kill or maim us. And that would be terrible. But hey, if we get to see God a little sooner, happy days. The virus is just one of a billion things that can take us out or maim us. And sure, I don't know, there could be some unforeseen consequences of one of the vaccines well into the future. But again, whoop-de-doo. You see, no virus, no vaccine can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. Do you like what I did with that verse from Romans? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are connected to God and to each other. Nothing can take that away from us. But how we treat each other through something as secondary as viruses, as vaccines, as government regulations, well, that can destroy us. God is up to something huge by drawing us together into his local church. And it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. God is displaying his glory by connecting us. And because God is great, greater than we could imagine, I know that we can be a connected, loving, welcoming family of vaccinated and unvaccinated. I'm not saying that we'll all agree with each other over these important issues. As a matter of fact, I know that well into the future, we will have disagreements over the vaccine. But I am convinced we can love each other, and I am calling us to stay connected. Not simply for our psychological health, although that'll be an added bonus, but we're going to stay connected because we are jealous to spread a passion for God's glory. And so I'm looking forward to our vaccine discussion this afternoon on Zoom and the one on October 10 when we can, Lord willing, get into the Adventist building and actually meet together. So it's 3 o'clock this afternoon. There'll be another one 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon, Lord willing. This will be important for us to stay connected even through our differences of opinion. We're God's people and we love each other. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has brought us to God and to each other. And so let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank you. You have drawn us in. You have brought us into your family, and you've brought us together. All praise and honor and glory be to you. And we are eagerly waiting for Jesus to return. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. And while we wait, oh, Father, equip us to love each other profoundly, to connect with each other. And Father, as we do that, would you do something amazing? Would you display your wisdom and your glory to a watching world and draw more people to you in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen.